And ask us to turn in our Bibles, if you haven't seen it already in your bulletin, to John chapter 11. The passage is a little bit lengthy, but I had to do this just because we've got to get the bulk of it so that we understand the message. It won't be, as we say, preaching everything within the text, but I want us to get this story from Lazarus. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 and going through 37. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And she said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" And we are going through 44. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our Father, continue to take your ever-abiding word, and would you teach us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to the glory of your great name. For Jesus' sake, amen. We may not be realizing everything that John is doing as he's writing this gospel, but I want to remind you of what we said a number of times as we have looked at the character and the person of Jesus, that John writes this for a specific purpose, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that believing you might have life in his name. He's doing it for them, and he's doing it for us here this morning. So keep that in mind. John chapter 11 and John chapter 12, basically you could say this is the turning point in the whole ministry of Jesus. I mean, Jesus has said, "My hour has not yet come." But this is the turning point of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. This is his final sign before he goes to the cross. It's about a week that he will go to die the death of all deaths. So I just want to call us to 3 points. The first one would be the call for Jesus, the claim of Jesus, and the call by Jesus. So it's the call for Jesus, the claim of Jesus, and the call by Jesus. So if you... I trust if you, as you have your Bibles with you. You see in the first 4 verses, it's neither Mary nor Martha that are calling for Jesus. Jesus is sent for. John says, I want you to remember who Mary was. Mary is the one that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, and whose brother Lazarus was ill. So as the sisters send for Jesus, I want us to notice how they translate, how the message came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice it when we read it? It wasn't, "Lord, Lazarus, the one who loves you is sick." That's not it. "Lord, he whom you love is ill." Now, it's very, very important, very important. It's very important for the story, and it's very important for you and for me. And that is, Jesus knows us because he loves us. Nothing is more important in our lives. That is that Jesus loves his people. Now, it's obvious that Jesus had a very close relationship with Mary, with Martha, and with Lazarus. But I want you to notice in the text, as they call for Jesus, that John writes, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Yet, we see that Lazarus has, in fact, died. But Jesus has very specifically said, this illness does not lead to death. What we're to understand is that he is saying that Lazarus is not meeting with the ultimate death of hell itself. Lazarus is not going to meet with eternal torment and eternal regret. That is not the end of the story. Because when we read in Revelation, we read that that place of torment is the place where the worm never dies. But Jesus is saying to the disciples, my glory is going to be revealed through what takes place. Eternal death is not coming to Lazarus. But there's an even stranger expression here in the text. This is why it's so important to pay attention to the words of our texts. When we read our Bibles, pay attention to the small details. Notice verse 5 and 6. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, notice that the text doesn't say Jesus hurried along and got to where Lazarus was. The text says, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he says to his disciples, let's go to Judea. Do you find that odd? To find that different, so to speak? In our own words, we might say, what's up with that? What's he doing staying 2 days longer? Why didn't he go to Bethany right then and there? Does he not care? Does he not care for his friend Lazarus? But now, wait a minute. When we read the text, we realize he says to them, Lazarus has died. I mean, you get this tension that you can feel that comes right in the text to us. This is, I think, the central truth that every redeemed child of God needs to hear. And it's this. Everything that Jesus does is with a purpose that he should be glorified through whatever takes place. Everything that Jesus does is done with a purpose that he should be glorified through everything that takes place. Jesus cares so much for Lazarus and the two sisters that he will do whatever is necessary to teach them who he is and what they themselves may look forward to. So here's the application that I would make to all of our lives. If we're convinced that Jesus loves us, then we're better able to rest in whatever he has for us. If we are convinced that Jesus loves us, we are better able to rest in whatever he has for us. You see, if Jesus were to have gone to Bethany just like that, he wouldn't be able to teach them what he teaches here. Here's another lesson for us. We're to have confidence in the purposes of the Lord Jesus in spite of appearances. Imagine the emotional turmoil that Mary and Martha must be feeling. Martha and Mary see Lazarus has died. Where's Jesus? Isn't he coming? Doesn't he care? So let me say it again. Whatever the Lord brings our ways, we're to have confidence in the purposes of the Lord Jesus in spite of appearances. You see, there are times it's necessary that God's people are to be brought to a sense of their inability to be in control. We need to be taught that. I'm not in control. I feel so helpless. I don't know what God is doing. Where is God in all of my difficulties? Where is God when I'm struggling with my children? Where is God when I'm struggling with my spouse? Where is God? And you can ask the multitude of questions. And yet, when you look at the story of Lazarus, and we hear the call to Jesus, we're to have confidence in the purposes of Jesus in spite of appearances. And it's worth stressing here this morning that for very good reason, the Lord Jesus doesn't go to Bethany for two more days. Why? Because he loves his people. As odd as that may sound, he hangs back precisely because he loves his people. So here's another lesson. He doesn't ask us to understand. He calls us to trust him. Nowhere in the scriptures does he ask us to understand it. He's God. And if we have no understanding of what is happening, what is occurring, and we're all befuddled in our hearts and our minds, and we just don't know why is this coming to me? Why is this coming to my spouse? Why is this coming to my children? Why? And the Lord has to remind you and me, trust me. You may not understand. I don't ask you to understand, but I call you to trust me. So Mary and Martha need to learn something. We need to learn something. And sometimes, even when we aren't directly involved in what is occurring, if we're on the periphery, we're on the outside ring, so to speak, sometimes we need to learn things as well. Jesus shows them that he has work to do. And he is resolved to do the work that his Father has given him to do. Nothing will keep the Savior back from accomplishing what he's been sent to do. And it's right here in our story. Jesus won't be manipulated. I would think that in the call, Lord, he whom you love is ill, there is an understood statement, Lord, can't you hurry and come to Bethany? But Jesus will never be manipulated. He will always come and do when and where his Father wants him to do it. That's in our lives, brothers and sisters. So I want you to see as well, I know this is a long first point, but I want you to see as well, in verse 11, Jesus has said, he's fallen asleep. That's what he's done. He's fallen asleep. But I go to awaken him, and the disciples, they don't understand. But then Jesus plainly tells them, Lazarus has died. What Jesus is saying is, now you're going to see my greater glory. You see, we don't understand. We don't see. We don't get it. But he's on his way to the cross. And he's going to demonstrate what it is to see one coming back from the dead or being called back from the dead. This is what he's doing. By the word of Jesus. So, a week before he goes to the cross, the disciples would see it. Mary and Martha would understand it. Lazarus would understand it. They would understand the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. But here's the second thing I want us to see in the text. I want us to see the claim of Jesus. Look at the claim of Jesus. Martha seems to understand everything. She says to him, but now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus assures her, your brother will rise again. Martha says, I got this figured out. I understand that the resurrection is coming. But she needs to hear these words, and we need to hear these words. I am. That's the eternal reality, the eternal word of Jesus speaking again. I am. That's who I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Brothers and sisters, there's so much to learn here. I would put it to us this way. Death will not have the last word. Death never has the last word. Martha does believe that her brother will rise on the last day. She's no doubt about that. But here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is turning your and my eyes to him. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he really wants to draw attention to the life. Life is in Jesus. He then explains, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The emphasis is on the one who lives. Jesus gives us life, and we live in him. And Jesus says, all who believe in him shall never die. And he asks Martha, do you believe this? Brothers and sisters, I'm asking ourselves the same question. Do you believe this? Is your life wrapped up in Jesus? Is he your only hope? You need to see, and I need to see, that we are only a step away from drawing our last breath. You see, this is a very real picture for you and for me. Jesus declares, I'm the resurrection and the life. I want you to see what Jesus does. Verse 33, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then further on in the text, Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. And here's what a lot of people say. You know, Jesus really feels bad about Lazarus. He was his friend. So these are tears of grief. Well, there may be some of that in that. But Jesus is What he's doing is he's staring death in the face. He's the one who has come to overcome death at the cross. And the original word to this being troubled is spirit, in spirit, is that Greek word that carries with it anger, outrage, emotional indignation. He is seeing firsthand, this is what Adam and Eve did. This is why I've come into the world, to do away with sin, to do away with death. And he's outraged at sin. Now it's true, verse 35, Jesus wept. It's his lovely humanity. Jesus wept. He's human. He's divine. He's perfect humanity. Does Jesus weep? He does. He cares. He understands in our grief. I suspect every one of us here knows about the grief of losing a loved one. Dear ones, he doesn't eliminate painful suffering. Jesus cares because he weeps. There's more going on. I've already told you that. But here's what I want us to see third in the text, and that's Jesus' call. To some of us, this may be an old story. But he comes to the very grave, demanding that the stone be taken away. And they're afraid. Oh, Lord, he's been in there 4 days. They don't embalm people. But this time, he stinks. I love your King James Bibles. He stinketh. Yeah. Lord, don't open that. And then he thanks his Father. You see, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always working in tandem. They have no disagreement among themselves. Lord, I thank you that you always hear me. And he calls out, Lazarus, come out. Well, a couple of things that we need to see is he doesn't just say, come out, because if he had said, come out, everybody who's in their graves would have come out. Everyone. It would have been the grand resurrection. And he calls out with a loud voice, not because Lazarus couldn't hear, but he does it for the sake of the people. And he wants them, and he wants you and me to see. When I speak, people listen. I'm the one who call people back from the dead. We're inclined sometimes to call it a resurrection, but it isn't a true resurrection in the sense that Jesus resurrected from the grave. So I'm trying to draw a little bit of a distinction here. But he calls out, Lazarus, come out. And the man came out. He's overcome death. This is what he does and has done. He overcomes death. So what Jesus is about to do before the call, what he's about to do will determine who he is, or it will say he's an imposter. And I can tell you this, his whole ministry hangs on these words. Because if Lazarus doesn't come out, Jesus is an imposter. So I want every single one of us to look at this passage and realize your security. If you love Jesus and you know him and you trust him, when the day comes, whenever that will be, And he says, come forth. You will come forth. And it will be a time of great joy. It will be a time of great blessing. It will be a grand reunion for every single one of God's people who love him. I am the resurrection of the life. Dear ones, this is a miniature picture of what it will be for the saints of God to be reunited, soul and body. Who, dear ones, compares with Jesus? Just like I said to the children here this morning, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Are you rejoicing? You are in Christ, and you may look forward to that day, however difficult these days may be. We don't know exactly how we will pass from this life. We don't know everything that will occur to us. But we get to rest in this truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Amen.